Jesus' name, amen.
You know, as Pastor was praying, I thought about the verse when Jesus said, in so many words, my peace I give to you. And then what did he say? Not as the what? As the world gives. You know, the world's peace comes in the form of masks and vaccines. I don't care where you're at on either one of those. But no matter what you choose, no matter where you're at on the various issues today, one thing that we need to be settled in and be recipients of is God's peace. And he gives it to us. And here we're going to be looking at a familiar passage in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And if you would go and turn over there really quickly. This is a familiar passage. We looked at this in brief on a Wednesday night recently, if you were a part of that Zoom group. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Between the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus talked about worry and anxiety, and this passage right here, with both of them combined, we really get a very comprehensive picture with what God wants us to do with worries and fears. God does not want us to live in a state of worry. Now, this series that we're doing here this morning, it is really a spin-off of our studies in the life of David. And as we saw this last week, or as we made note of this last week, David made some decisions in his life based on fear. They were foolish decisions. And every time that you and I choose to live in fear, we will make foolish decisions. Anytime that we look at, have our eyes on this world and all of its confusion, and humanly speaking, some legitimate fears, when we don't have our eyes on God, I'm telling you, we will make foolish decisions, and we will not have the peace that God desires to give to us. So let's look here at this passage, Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. If you're looking for a verse to memorize, that may be a good one. Just saying. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. The word is in the present tense in the Greek, meaning a continual rejoicing. He says always, just in case maybe we miss something like, oh man, maybe my circumstance does not should not require me to rejoice or whatever. And then for... the way that I like to think about it is for those in the back and for the New York City lawyers who would argue this passage and say, yeah, I don't really know what he means here. He says again I say rejoice. I don't know what your circumstance is going on, your circumstances in your life in particular. What I do see is a restless world. And if you're anything like me, 2 years ago, you would have, if I would have anticipated what's going on in the world right now today, or if I would have been told what's going on in the world right now, I wouldn't have believed you. And yet God knew this since the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, and he tells us to rejoice wherever we are. So I think it includes even this time during coronavirus. And again, wherever you might be on various issues, I'd like for us to look at the idea of going to God in prayer and being recipients of his peace. Now notice here, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Did I not give you the slides for this, Dave? Oh, okay. You didn't have time. That's all right. Dave, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Let everyone see your gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. This is the word that we've looked at in the past. This is the word marimnazo. The word Mary, or the root word Mary, means to split or divide. When you merizo something, you divide it. So we're talking about being anxious, having a divided focus where there's just so many things around you and you don't have your eyes on God, on your concerns and your cares instead. Instead, he says, in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we'll look at that a little bit, tell your requests to God, your specific requests. Not just saying, God bless the world, God bless, you know, the rest of my life, but bringing specific requests. He says, and the peace of God that surpasses. I love that word because it means to be able to produce superior results. Superior results. It surpasses all understanding. It will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse number 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, think, he says, on these things. Man, so many awesome things to look at here in this passage. The word is logizomai. Think logos, logizomai. How many of us have ever heard of the word logic? Hello. He says, think according to these things. And what you learned and reserved and received and heard and saw in me do, he says, practice these things. Put these into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, with God helping us, we're going to look here at this passage, and as we kind of couple it with the teachings that Jesus gave about worry, I'm hoping that God will just use it and bring some of these things together in our minds. Jesus, of course, told us not to worry, and he gave us reasons why. He says, because of who I am, because of who you are to me, because of my promises, all of those things. Okay, now as we look at Paul's writings, how is it that we deal with them specifically when you and I are worrying? And again, with God helping us this morning, we're going to look at that. The word translated as gentleness here in our passage, let your gentleness be known to all. This word describes a temperament that is seasoned and mature. It is an attitude that is, according to one writer, fitting to the occasion, level-headed, and tempered. This gentleness is a very mature gentleness that considers all the facts about a situation instead of reacting in panic. By the way, a little side note here, this passage that we're looking at, which tells us not to be anxious, is actually in the context of relationships. How many of us have discovered that relationships are often sources of anxiety? Our relationships are not always perfect. And so God tells us in this context not to worry, and he tells us what to deal with our worries. But God tells us as Christians to respond to anxiety, respond to conflict, respond to what would otherwise give us anxiety, respond to it with maturity, moderation, I'd like for us to look at this morning because, man, I tell you what, this can make a huge difference in the way that we live today in this world that we're in. I don't know if you know the story, but the story is told of four Russian submarines that patrolled the Florida coast. This was back in 1962. U.S. warships had dropped depth charges. The Russian captain was stressed, trigger-happy, and ready to destroy a few American cities. On each one of these Russian subs, there was a nuclear warhead. Each warhead had the potential to repeat the Hiroshima-level calamity. And had it not been for the contagious calm of a clear-headed, clear-thinking officer, World War III may have just begun at that time. One advisor to John F. Kennedy said that it was essentially the most dangerous time for all of humanity. But there was a man on one of those submarines by the name of Vasily Arkhipov, I think is how you pronounce it. I had a picture of him, but, well, again, Dave's not here. I'm not going to worry about it if you don't. He was the 36-year-old chief of staff for a secret fleet of Russian submarines. The crew members assumed they were being sent on a training mission off the Siberian coast, but they came to learn that they had been commissioned to travel 5,000 miles to the southwest to set up a spearhead for a base near Havana, Cuba. And without going into detail, you could look this story up yourself, but various conditions just put their just made their voyage just horrendous. These subs were designed for polar waters, not tropical, and so the temperatures in the submarines got up to like 120 degrees. I mean, for a length of time. I have a hard time sleeping if it's like 75 degrees. And in order to travel faster, they were actually they traveled on the surface, and so like they actually went through a hurricane as well. They were just completely on edge. I mean, you could just imagine. The subs received cryptic instructions from Moscow to turn northward and patrol the coastline of Florida. And soon after they had entered American waters, their radar picked up the signal of a dozen ships and aircraft. The Russians were being followed by the Americans, and the U.S. Ships set off depth charges. The Russians assumed they were under attack. The captain lost his cool. He summoned his staff to his command post, and he pounded the table with his fist. He said, "We are going to blast them now. We will die, but we will sink all of them. We will not disgrace our Navy." Now, what I'm talking about here was not made public knowledge until 2002. The world was teetering on the edge of war. But this man, Vasily Arkhipov, he asked for a moment with his captain. The two men stepped to the side. He urged his superior to reconsider. He suggested talking to the Americans before reacting. The captain listened. His anger cooled. He gave the order for the vessels to surface. The Americans encircled the Russians and kept them under surveillance. Again, you could look at you can find pictures of this online. If you look up, I believe it's B-59 was supposedly the sub that that Vasily was on, and you could see a picture of this sub, you know, partially exposed there in the water, and an American helicopter flying overhead. What they intended to do is unclear, as in a couple of days the Soviets dove, they eluded the Americans and went back home safely. Again, this was this story was kept secret for decades. It wasn't until 2002 that that the public became aware of this barely avoided catastrophe. One man said this, that the lesson from this event is that a guy named Vasily Arkhipov saved the world. Again, one of the darkest moments for all of humanity. And we didn't even really know it at the time. Now, I don't know what the future holds for us. I'm willing to bet that probably none of us will ever be on a Russian sub, 120 degrees, on edge, probably not. But I'm willing to guess that probably many of us either have been or in the time ahead will be in a situation where life puts the squeeze on us. You know what I'm talking about? Where we are pushed to the max, and if I could say it this way, we will be tempted to push the red button. And I don't know if it's right now during COVID, and I don't know what you may be going through as an individual person, what pressures and what stresses, all of those things. But I think about this morning. God wants Christians, for as long as we are here on this earth, to demonstrate a courageous calm to the outside world. Amen. The way that I respond to circumstances that are outside of my control. Let me ask you, can someone look at my life and say, man, that person, I don't understand it. It's a logic that I don't understand. But I'm getting a clear picture that this person believes that God is in control. Now, again, where you are at on some of the issues today, that's not what we're talking about, because guess what? We're all going to be a little different on how we approach some of the issues today. We all might have a different mind on various things, and yet what I would encourage every single one of us Christians to do is to cling to God, to cling to His peace, a peace that is superior, that surpasses all understanding. You say, Pastor Mike, how is this possible for us Christians to experience this peace? Notice the phrase there in verse number 5 here in our text. Paul, he said, let everyone see your gentleness. That's the word that we've been looking at here. He says, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Let's say that phrase together. The Lord is near. I think about various stories, various characters in the Bible that have gone before us. And I love the promises of God toward these individuals, or the descriptions that have been given about them, even their very enemies, what they have said. God said to Abraham, fear not, Abraham. He says, I am your shield and the one who will reward you in great abundance. To Moses, God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Of Daniel, I think about how Belshazzar said of Daniel, he said, a spirit of the gods is in you. Now, this king did not know the exact spirit that he was talking about, but there was evidence that God himself was with Daniel. Even Jesus, he said, the Father residing in me performs his miraculous deeds. Paul the Apostle, I love the statement that he made. He said this statement, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Now again, I don't know where you're at this morning, but here's what I know. If you're a child of God, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I can promise you this, that the Lord is with you. And He tells you that He will never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. Jesus, before He left earth, He gave this promise. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Say, the Lord is near. What's that talking about? Is that talking about the soon coming of Christ, or is that talking about the present nearness of Christ? And I think that the Apostle Paul left it a little bit ambiguous to leave both interpretations open. I don't know if I put this in your notes, but think about this statement here. The Lord who will soon return is the Lord who once came so close to humanity as actually to share the human lot, and who though absent now in body, is still near at hand in his spirit to guide, instruct, encourage, infuse with strength, assist, transform, and renew. God tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That doesn't matter whether or not COVID is a part of our lives or not. God's presence is forever faithful because he is forever faithful. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, the first practical step here into dealing with worry, because we have the Holy Spirit of God within us, because he will never leave us nor forsake us, we have constant access to the throne of God. This first step implies dealing with worry with prayer. Approaching God and coming into his presence, and there's so many rich words that are used here, and we can't look at all of them. But if we could kind of summarize here what Paul is talking about, is approaching God in adoration of who he is, which, by the way, is the greatest way to start our prayers, to come before him in adoration for who he is. And then Paul tells us about thankfulness. He says, and be thankful. Thankful for what he has done. Now again, there's so many awesome things that we could look at here, but let me give you a statement here by Daniel Henderson. He writes this: most Christians pray out of a crisis or from a grocery list, period. God has much more for us in our walk with him when we learn to seek his face and not just his hand. Wherever you are in your learning how to pray, and by the way, the best way to learn how to pray is to pray. And wherever you are at in learning how to pray, because we'll all be on this learning process till we are in Christ's presence forever. Wherever you are at, can I encourage you to spend time in adoration and thanksgiving for what he has done and for what he is doing? I'm telling you, he will get your prayer life off on the right foot. Now, wait a second. You say, Pastor Mike, okay, you know, here I am. I'm in a crisis. I've got anxiety in my heart. And you're telling me that there are things that I can actually give thanks for when I'm feeling anxious. I mean, you think that there are any blessings from God. Well, there's, it's really countless. But just consider some of these promises as we consider coming into God's presence with a thankful heart. Think about these promises. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No trial has overtaken you that has not been faced by others. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you are able to bear. But with the trial will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. Whatever trial, whatever testing you are going through, first of all, there have been others that have experienced that. Second, based upon God's faithfulness, God will never place something in your life that you are unable to bear. That is a promise from God. And I'm so thankful for that promise because I'm telling you, as Christians, we are in a battle. We, right when we call upon Christ as our Savior, it's like we are introduced to this war that maybe we didn't even realize beforehand that existed. We are at battle, and yet God says that he will be faithful, and he will never bring something into our life that is beyond what we can handle by his faithfulness. A wonderful, wonderful reality. Romans 8:28, we know that all things, you mean even this circumstance here, all things, he says, works together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. He also promises in 1 Peter 5, and after you have suffered a while, you say, Pastor Mike, I wish that I was able to grow by everything going good in my life. Why can't it be that we grow and we develop as people, develop as Christians by everything just being okay? Yeah, I wish we could change that too. But he says, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, strengthen, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And just like a tree, God wants me to have my roots deep in him. And just like a tree that is strengthened by wind and by affliction, God uses affliction to develop me. It's been a few years ago now, but when I first came here to Faith Baptist Church, I was one of those who liked to fly RC planes. And I'm not talking about the piddly ones that are like 4-foot wingspans. I'm talking about like 10-foot wingspans, where you basically have like a weed whacker engine on the front. I mean, like 55 cc, 150 cc, and you could just make these things do absolutely incredible things. I remember, as I flew and as I learned how to fly those RC planes, I was told, wind makes you a better pilot. Now, that doesn't feel very comfortable when your thumbs are like shaking and you've got like, you know, a ridiculous, and I'm telling you, for some people, it's just a ridiculous amount of money in the air. It's just, you just can't imagine. And your thumbs are shaking. Wind makes you a better pilot. A lack of storms never made a skilled sailor. And so God comes along. He says, I'm going to grow you and develop you, and it's going to take some storms. And you're going to have questions in the middle of it, and sometimes you will feel like heaven is brass. But I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will always give you the wisdom that you need and the grace that you need to endure the storm. I might not tell you what's 10 steps down the road, but I will tell you, I will reveal to you the wisdom that you need in the moment that you need it. So, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. These are wonderful promises, things that we could be thankful for. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply your every need, all of your needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, God may not change the circumstance in which I am in. He might not change my circumstances. And so often, that's what I want when I go into God's throne. But one of the reasons why we start with adoration and spending time gazing on who he is it puts our minds in a position to where we know that God's wisdom is beyond ours. So that even in the end, if God does not change my circumstances, I'm okay with it because God is wise and he is sovereign and he knows what he's doing. God may not change my circumstances, but as I come to God in thankfulness, bringing my requests, God will change me, and he will flood my soul with peace that surpasses all understanding. And notice in verse number 7, Paul writes, the peace that surpasses, peace of God that surpasses, is superior to all understanding, will guard, notice that word guard, your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the word guard there, it is a military term. And this is something that the Philippians would have understood. Because the town of Philippi, actually in Paul's day, had a Roman garrison stationed there in Philippi. And so when the Philippians heard this word guard, this military term, they thought, oh, okay. So just like we have a military outpost here, this garrison to guard, was used to guard a city, so God, this peace that passes all understanding, it will guard my heart, we could say it this way, from assaults of worry and fear. And God says, listen, I am willing to give that to you. And if you notice here in our passage, there's no qualifiers. It doesn't say only if you've been a good Christian. It doesn't say only if you've, eaten your Wheaties, I don't know. You know, only if you've been perfect for the past 7 days. Even if it's a place in my life that I've totally messed up in, that is the cause for my anxiety. Don't you remember back in the day when we used to use MapQuest? I'm so glad that we don't have to use MapQuest anymore. You know the horrible thing about MapQuest? If you print it off a MapQuest sheet and, you know, you're driving along, and if you miss a turn, good luck trying to find your way back. And so if I mess up, you know, there I am. I'm like, man, I don't even know where that turn was. Today we're living in the wonderful world of GPS. And so God, with His Holy Spirit, even if we've done something that is totally brainless as a Christian, God says, even if it's your fault, He says, I will flood your heart with peace. I will flood your circumstance in that moment with wisdom and grace so that you might know how to get back on track. I'm thankful that God reaches us where we are. And He will flood our souls, flood our hearts with a peace that surpasses all understanding. During World War II, there was an armed German freighter, that picked up a missionary whose ship had been torpedoed. He was put into the hold, and for a while he was too terrified to even close his eyes. And sensing the need to adjust his perspective, he told of how he got through the night. And he said this. He said, I began communing with the Lord. He reminded me of His word in the 121st Psalm. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he shall neither slumber nor sleep. He said, the Lord, there isn't any reason for the both of us to stay awake tonight. He says, if you're going to keep watch, I'll thank thee for some sleep. And he says that night he slept soundly as he replaces fear and anxiety with God's peace. And maybe you've been in a circumstance similar to that where it seems like there's no answers. Humanly speaking, there's absolutely no reason for peace. And yet, notice here in our first point, prayer brings supernatural peace. God has His supernatural peace available to every child of God. Prayerful people are a peaceful people. Now notice here in verse number 8, not only do we have the wonderful gift of prayer, but God also tells us how to align our thoughts. And this is a familiar passage. He says, it's kind of contagious, isn't it? I don't know what's wrong with my throat this morning. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of respect, just, pure, lovely, commendable. He says, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think, legitimai, about these things. I am the product of my thoughts. I am the product of my thoughts. How many of us have heard the verse in the book of Proverbs? As he thinks in his heart, Proverbs 23. As he thinks in his heart, what? So is he. You and I are the products of our thoughts. And according to the Apostle Paul, one way to continue this on, to continue to cultivate peace in our lives after we've spent time in prayer, he says there's something that you must do to continue to cultivate peace in your life, and it is by way of thoughts. And as we've seen over the past couple weeks, what we are talking about here is being proactive with our thoughts. For example, I can listen to myself, spend time listening to myself, and spend time listening to self-talk or whatever you might want to call it. On the other hand, I can be proactive with my thoughts, and I can take control of my thoughts and bring them into agreement with God's truth, otherwise known as the Word of God. This second step, by the way, we're not talking here about illogical happy talk. We are talking about logical thinking based upon God's person, His promises, all of the truths that are revealed to us in the Word of God. And I love the word that's used here for think. Because again, it's the word legizomai, and the word means to give careful thought to a matter, to think, to reckon, account. How many of us are familiar with the verse in Romans, I want to say it's Romans 6:11, where the Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Okay, it's the exact same word that's used here. He says, legizomai, consider yourself, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a wonderful thing as Christians to be able to think correctly. Because I tell you what, when God found us before Christ, I tell you what, I'll just say this for myself, I was blind, I was engaged in futile thoughts, ignorant of God's truth, and yet God, I'm thankful for my parents, I'm thankful for growing up in a Christian home. Because in the Christian home that I grew up in, I heard the Word of God. The gospel was brought to me. I heard the gospel, and I became convinced of the gospel, convinced of its truth. The Holy Spirit convinced me of what I heard. And I'm thankful that at that time, when the gospel was brought to me, I made the conscious decision, I made the logical decision to call upon Christ as my Savior and ask Him for forgiveness of sins. And ever since then, if you personally have made that decision where you've called upon Christ, you've made that logical decision to accept His free gift of eternal life, the Christian life continues on. Just like someone might make that logical decision to call upon Christ, even so, I must make the logical, according to the Apostle Paul here, I must make the logical decision to think correctly, to think biblically regarding my worries and anxieties. Now, this is a logic that doesn't make sense to the world. This is a logic by faith. When the Apostle Paul writes about how we are to think, in many ways, this is a logic that it comes from our faith in God's truth and what He is doing. But he wants us to think logically. Notice here this statement by Martin Lloyd-Jones. Hopefully it's there in your notes. He says, "The Bible is full of logic. Christian faith is essentially thinking. Look to the birds," he's quoting Christ here. "Think about them and draw your deductions. Look at the grass. Look at the lilies of the field. Consider them." Faith, if you like, can be defined like this. It is a man insisting upon thinking when everything seems determined to beat and knock him down. The trouble with the person of little faith is that instead of controlling his own thought, his thought is being controlled by something else, and as we put it, he goes round and round in circles. That is the essence of worry. That is not thought. That is the absence of thought, a failure to think. God has given us as Christians, even in 2020, a thought pattern, a biblical worldview so that no matter what may happen in life, you and I can experience the peace of God because there are so many wonderful things to think about. Now, let's go through this list here as we consider what Paul's talking about. Before we do that, consider these passages. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, Paul, what kind of proactive thinking should we engage in if we are going to experience and cultivate God's peace in our lives? Notice, first of all, we are to think about what is true. I think that's my favorite one. Jesus said, your word is true. How many of us over the past, it seems like it's getting worse and worse all the time. We don't know what's true out there. One source tells us this, another source tells us that, and they are completely opposite. Completely. Now, again, I don't care where you've ended up on these things, but everything from, you know, various treatments, how helpful really are they? And, I mean, and it really began with masks, you know, do masks really work? And different sources tell you different things. And one thing I could tell you this morning is that everything in this book is true. Okay, you and I might come to different decisions on various things today, and that's fine. God has given us liberty, and let everyone be persuaded in their own mind. And yet, I am telling you this morning, if you are looking for a source of truth, this is it. It is eternally true. And it is preserved for us today. I'm so thankful that it is in our language today. Whatever is worthy of respect. I should have put this list in your notes. Whatever is moral, whatever is sacred. Remember, this is also talking about relationships here and conflict between relationships. Whatever is just, in perfect harmony with God's holiness. Whatever is pure, morally clean, undefiled. Whatever is lovely, whatever is kind and gracious. Whatever is commendable, universally praised values such as courage, respect, etc., etc. And in summary, Paul says, look, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, think on it. Think on these things. Now, I'm telling you, there's a battle that's going on in the world today, different sides to various things, but there is also a battle in your mind. And God wants us to cling to His truth. And I'm telling you, even... getting ready to preach, going into a Sunday, I am telling you, sometimes like getting up to the weekend, and even this particular weekend, it seems like Satan has just been fighting more than normal. And what I have had to just learn to do is to cling to God's truth. And wherever you might be, various struggles and causes for anxiety, all of that, cling to God's truth. This example, I think, may help us here with what we're talking about. There was a lady named Rebecca. She endured more than 55 surgeries and medical procedures in her approximately 1,000 days, at least at the time of this writing, had been in the hospital. Young lady, her mom, Kristen, talks about her daughter's health complications with relative ease and knows terms that I've never even heard of. She talks about blood cells and stents, hemorrhagic stroke. That was a new one for her. She writes this. She says, this past week's new landmine was the phrase possible hemorrhagic stroke, a phrase I heard a dozen times used by numerous physicians over and over and over. That phrase filled my mind and consumed my thoughts. She says it was emotionally crippling. And as she reflects on Romans 8:4-8, she writes this in her blog post. She says, using Philippians 4:8-9 as a guide, she said, I found my answer. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, What was true in my life at this particular moment, the blessing of all family members eating together, whatever is noble, the blessing of enjoying each other's presence outside of a hospital room, whatever is right, the blessing of experiencing my two sons' daily lives, whatever is pure, the blessing of all three children laughing and playing with each other, whatever is lovely, the blessing of watching Rebecca sleep peacefully in her bed at night, whatever is admirable, the blessing of an honorable team working tirelessly on Rebecca's care. If anything is excellent, the blessing of watching a miracle unfold, or praiseworthy, the blessing of worshiping a Lord who is worthy to be praised. Kristen says that when she thought about these things, she says, at that very moment, she says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, did guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. She says this, a true, unexpected miracle. Even when knowledge falls short, and our knowledge about a particular situation, why God is allowing something to happen, it doesn't matter what we understand or don't understand, may never understand. God says, my peace, which surpasses all understanding, is available in full to you wherever you are. Notice number two, disciplined thoughts cultivate peace. Disciplined thoughts cultivate peace. I've got here a couple different filters. How many of you know that if you have central air, you should change your filters, your furnace filters, on a regular basis? Okay, you probably should do it like every 3 months or less. I know this because the house that we moved into before we came here, the previous owner forgot to pull one of the filters. This is a multi-filter system. Forgot to change out one of the filters in the unit, and it cost us $2,500 to replace the compressor. Now, I won't go through all the details, but if you have a furnace, please replace it often. There, I just saved you a lot of money. This is one that just before church I pulled out. I wanted to get it when it was as dirty as possible. I pulled out just before church. This has been in our furnace for probably about 30 days or so. And this is a clean one, never been in the system at all. This is a dirty one. This is a clean one. I don't know how good you can see this. Can everyone tell the difference? Hopefully you can. And this might be a reminder to some of us right now. God tells us, think on these things. In the world that we are living in today, I am telling you, our filter, the filter of our mind, could look like this almost after a few hours. News notifications and all that's happening in the world. In fact, sometimes I'll come across a video on YouTube, you know, if it's more than like 2 days old, I don't even consider watching it because things change so fast. And thoughts and ideas and that's contrary to the list that we have looked at. I am telling you, it is out in the world today. There is worry, there is anxiety, there are causes for worry, there are causes for anxiety. We wonder what is truth. Nothing is lovely. I mean, so much of we hear today is not according to the list that we looked at just a few minutes ago. And yet God tells us, he says, you know what? By the way, just like our furnace up in Washington, because the filter hadn't been replaced, it totally stressed the system. Again, $2,500 that we had to spend, so you and I can be become stressed out by all that is in the world today. All the thoughts, all the emotions. God wants us to experience His peace. And according to His word, a way to cultivate that peace in our lives is to keep our thoughts according to God's truth. Whatever's true, whatever's lovely, whatever's honest, whatever is of good repute, all these things. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. And as we saw at the beginning of this passage, it will change how we interact with each other. How do you think your interactions will change with your spouse, with your children, with your coworkers, fill in the blank, your neighbor, whoever it is, if every one of us, about other people, our thoughts were lovely and peaceful and true? I'm thinking it will probably change the way that you and I interact. Verse number 9. Paul says, okay, I've given you these instructions. He says, you've seen the way that I've lived when I've been with you. He says, what you've learned and received and heard and seen me do, he says, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Paul exemplified these characteristics in an exemplary way. Pastor Mike, how do we know that what Paul is talking about here actually works? Do you know that probably the greatest theme that's found in the book of Philippians, one of the greatest themes is joy? Do you know where he wrote this book from? From prison? I'm thinking that what Paul wrote about here in this passage probably works. I think. Yeah, I'm willing to bet that. He says, those things that you've heard and seen me do, he says, the God of peace will be with you. He says, it works. One of my greatest joys have been to introduce not only movies to my kids that I enjoyed growing up, but some of the weird commercials that I remember. And I won't tell you all of them. How many of you remember that deodorant commercial? Sure, 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 unsure. double mint gum. What's some others? I can't even remember. Oh, want to get away? Oh, come on, you guys don't remember those? And I remember that one commercial about Neutrogena Tea Gel shampoo. Do you remember what the slogan was? This guy with a deep voice, this shampoo that's in front of you, one of the most simple commercials, like commercial on a budget, like you could do it for about $5, you know? And okay, Neutrogena Tea Gel Shampoo, this deep voice. It works. Okay. Pray. Come to God in adoration and thankfulness. Align your thoughts with God's truth. It works. Whatever your worries are, whatever your concerns are, God might not change your circumstances, but He can flood your soul with peace. Now, some of us, we like our worries, and we like to think on them, and we like to dwell on them. I don't understand it. It's like how Dave Ramsey, the financial guy, he describes debt. Why do people like debt so much? He describes it as a dirty diaper. You know, a child, their diaper is packed. It's warm and it's mine. But you could trade your worry in for something much better. A peace that passes all understanding. Notice number three, peace proves the genuineness of my faith. Proves the genuineness of my faith. Do you think that this world needs to see someone at peace? You think that this world needs to sense a courageous calm? I think that the world is looking at Christians and wondering whether or not what we believe is correct. Think about what Paul said. He was on his way. He himself had, the boat on which Paul was on experienced some storms. He was on his way to stand before Nero. He had appealed to Nero. And after this perfect storm that lasted for like 14 days, he goes to the sailors and he tells them, and this is just paraphrasing what he says. He says, take courage. He says, an angel of the God I serve spoke to me last night and ensured my and your safety. I think that the world today, when they look at a Christian that is at peace in this day, it probably won't make sense to them. Because it's according to a logic that they don't understand. You and I walk by faith and we take God's truth by faith. What I would submit to us this morning is you and I must be so convinced and so at peace in our own hearts and minds that we do not send mixed signals to the world, because I am telling you, even though they don't understand it, the world needs to see Christians who are at peace. Christians who anxiety does not describe the way that they respond and the way that they carry themselves. The world today needs to see Christians who are at peace, so that when we tell them the message of Jesus Christ, even though they might not understand our peace, they will be convinced about our message, so that they too will look to Christ in faith and have this same peace available to them. When someone looks at your life, your disposition, how you handle yourself, do they see God's peace at work? James 3, 17 and 18. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, of them that make peace. In my wake, as I live my life, God wants His peace to be evident in my life. And as this verse describes, He wants the wake that I leave behind to be one of peace as well. Let me ask you, Christian, in this day in which we are living, has God's peace flooded your soul? Is God's peace present in your soul? The Lord is near. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I believe this, that the coming of Jesus Christ is more near than it's ever been, closer than it's ever been. But I also know this, that whether or not He is near physically, He has given me His Holy Spirit, and that help is near all the time. His grace, His wisdom, this peace that He has ready to flood my soul that surpasses all understanding, it is all available to me. God help us to be walking demonstrations of this peace. That those who look at our lives through this in this time that is just turbulent. God, help us that we would be people of peace, to where we can't even describe it ourselves as a peace that surpasses all understanding. And when someone looks at our lives, that they might see this true and genuine peace. And when they hear this message, they would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior as well. Wherever you might be on various political issues, you and I today can experience God's peace. Let's go ahead and pray. God, you are good and you are faithful. Thank you for being constant, and thank you for making your peace available to us. God, we give you this time, and I pray if there's someone here this morning that's never looked to you for salvation, I pray that even this morning that they would call upon you for that free gift. God, I pray you would help us to look to you and to receive your peace. God, you are good and you are faithful. God, we praise you for who you are. I pray you bless this time. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just want to give you just a moment of privacy right now. I wonder here this morning, there's maybe someone that would say, man, Pastor Mike, with all that's going on in the world right now, with all that's going on in my life, man, this peace that God promises, that is a peace that I desperately need. And God has worked on my heart this morning about receiving his peace that surpasses all understanding. That's you. I would just encourage you to spend a moment of prayer there at your seat. Whatever burdens they are, I just encourage you to give those to God. If it's what's happening in the world nowadays, give that to God. Your cares, your concerns. I wonder if you're here this morning and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this one that we have been talking about this morning. Jesus Christ came to earth some 2,000 years ago that you might put your faith in him for the finished work that he did on the cross when he gave his life for you, your sin debt completely taken care of, that by calling upon him and asking for his eternal life, he might give you in exchange his righteousness, eternal life forever and ever. And if you're here this morning, you've never called upon Christ for salvation, in a prayer in your own words, I would encourage you to call upon him. God, please give me your eternal life. God, thank you for dying on the cross and what you did 2,000 years ago to make eternal life possible.